All right. It's my pleasure once again to have Brother Juan come up to share the Word of God with us. It's one of the wonderful blessings of being in Christ is to meet other people that love the Lord. And how in the world would some hillbilly from Iowa come to meet a Cuban guy from Miami? Right? That's just how the church is, isn't it, Juan? It's pretty cool.
Amen.
Now, if you look at us, if you got your camera, take a look. Brothers. Huh? We're twins.
We both love fishing.
Yeah. Well, God bless you as you bring the word, Juan.
Thank you, brother. Amen. So happy again to share with you this morning. I have a question to ask you tonight, this morning. I want you to ask yourself this question. And I think if you ask yourself this question, and you really think about it, as we go through these ideas this morning, I think it'll make much more sense to you. Ask yourself, what does God think of me? Ask yourself this morning, right now, ask yourself, what does God think of me? Ask yourself, what does God think of you? We're going to come back to that question as we develop some ideas this morning from God's Word. But let me start by talking to you a little bit about the world of art. I was doing some research and finding what are the most expensive pieces of art in the world. And there's some pretty impressive price tags on some of these art pieces. The most expensive, who can venture to get what the most expensive piece of art in the world is? Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa, $2.67 billion. And I've been with my wife at the Louvre Museum in France, in Paris, and I've seen the Mona Lisa. It's not a big deal. You walk through, you have a map when you get to the museum, and the map is supposed to get you to where the Mona Lisa is, because that's what everybody wants to see. And it's complicated to get there. You got to go through halls and stairs and halls and buildings and stairs and halls till you finally get to the room where the Mona Lisa is. It's a room that all the walls are filled with art. And then it has some partitions in the middle with art. And then you find Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa is this big. It's this big. It's, you look at it, you go, is that it? And then you turn around and opposite, Mona Lisa's here on this wall in the middle of a bunch of other paintings. You turn around and in that whole wall in the back is maybe a 150-foot wall with one mural called the Weddings of Canaan. One of the most beautiful, to me, my favorite piece of art, that mural. And you look at that mural, the Weddings of Canaan, right out of the Bible. Amazing. And then you look at this little thing, $2.67 billion. Right next to that is a work by Picasso, the Demoiselles d'Avignon, $950 million. Starry Night is number three, $900 million. The Joy of Life by Matisse, $700 million. Sunday Afternoon on Le Grand by Siro is $650 million. Now, what makes these and other art pieces so expensive? What makes them so expensive? Well, for one, they are unique. They're one-of-a-kind pieces. And even more important, they are considered to be the painter's masterpiece. You see, these painters painted a lot of art. They did a lot. But their best work, their masterpiece, is what garners these kind of prices. It's the experience and the just the development until they get to this point where they come up with an amazing piece. Now, I wanna share with you today that there's an artist infinitely greater than Da Vinci. And he's the one who designed you. There's an artist that's infinitely greater than Rembrandt, infinitely greater than Monet, infinitely, because his works cannot be compared to anything man has ever made. As far as art and creativity is concerned, who can compare to God? Follow me here. Who can paint a starry sky with real stars, not with paint? Think about it. Who can paint a beautiful scene using mountains and rivers and jungles and deserts instead of paint? Who can paint the most beautiful sunrise using a real sun? See, there's no comparison. Who's filled the oceans with extraordinary diversity of amazing plant life, animal life, fish, corals, using the real thing? But there is one work that we can, that could be called God's priceless masterpiece, and that's human beings. We are God's priceless masterpiece. We have been designed in the image of the artist himself. Think about that. The same God who painted all the amazing natural scenes we see today, when he created us, he created us in his image. You and I are the masterpiece of God. The same God who created the heavens and the earth. What does that say about our value? If the Mona Lisa is worth $2.67 billion, how much are you worth? To the creator, to the artist, infinitely more. Infinitely more. Our value is priceless. Each one of us are unique. Each one of us are originals. And we all bear the artist's signature in our heart, all of us. We are not a copy. The artist didn't mess up when he created you. We're not some cheap imitation. We are originals, authentic, priceless. But something terrible has happened. Something terrible has happened. The sculpture has rebelled against the sculptor. The painting has rebelled against the painter. Humans have abused the freedom which we were created, and we've distorted the image of God in us. The masterpiece has been distorted. Let me use an analogy to help us understand where I'm going with this. Imagine if the Mona Lisa, Da Vinci's pride and joy, decides she no longer wants to be hanging in the Louvre Museum. She comes off of her frame. She decides she's going to do her own thing. First thing she does is she says, she takes a Sharpie and she does a little mustache on her, a little goatee, and a tattoo on her forehead. Because she's free. What do you think happens? What do you think happens to her value in the eyes of the art world? It plummets. It drops to nothing. Because her image has been defaced. But not in the eyes of the painter. Not in the eyes of the painter. To Da Vinci, she's still his masterpiece. Even though she's rebelled against his design, his purpose. Now, those who encourage Mona Lisa to break from the intentions of her creator, they're the first one to abandon her when her value is lost. They're the first ones to abandon her. Where does she end up at the end of the day? In a dump somewhere. In a trash can somewhere. Why? Because it's no longer worth anything to this world. But you know what? I can imagine Da Vinci walking behind the Louvre, finding that trash bin, taking that portrait, his masterpiece that has been defaced, out of that trash can, bringing it back to his shop, and beginning a slow process of restoring her to the original design. Because to him, she's just as valuable as she was before. Now, I tell you that, I use that analogy to tell you that this imaginary story of Mona Lisa's rebellion, that's our story. That's our story. We have rebelled against the intentions of our Creator. We've distorted the image of God reflected on us. We've exercised our freedom to destroy the perfect creation of God. And the world that encourages us to do that is the first to dump us in a trash bin once we've lost our value. And abandon us and move on. So the main idea I want you to take this morning as we get into God's word is that God wants to restore us to the original masterpiece he created. God wants to restore us to the original masterpiece he created. God wants to pick us up from the dump where we find ourselves, restore us, and put us back in a place of honor and dignity and priceless worth. I would like you to look in your Bibles with me this morning at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at one verse this morning to begin our talk. Ephesians chapter 2. If you have an electronic Bible, I'm going to be reading the New Living Translation, but it's very similar to what you have in your Bibles in the ESV. Ephesians 2:10. The Word of God says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." I'm going to read it again. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." The word masterpiece there, interestingly, is Greek. In Greek is poema, from where we get the word poem. We are God's poema. We are his priceless masterpiece. Now, what stands out in this powerful verse to me is the connection between the Creator and mankind. To me, that's what stands out. What is that connection? To God, from God's perspective, we are his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. Our value as human beings does not depend on what we're capable of doing. Our value does not depend on how much you know. Our value is not dependent on how beautiful we are or how successful we are. Our value is not assigned to us by this world. Our value is not dependent on anyone's opinion in this world. Our value comes from being created in the image of God. Our value comes from being masterpieces of the Creator of the universe. We are his most treasured possession. We are his cherished treasure. We are his poema. That's where our value stems from. And some of us need to hear that today. Some of us need to hear that today. Because we live in a world that beats us up because they value what they like. Because they have established all of these arbitrary protocols of what is valuable and what is not. And we should not be concerned about what the world thinks our value is or is not. We should be concerned with the value that's placed on us by our Creator. That supersedes this. But when we rebel against our Creator, when we disconnect ourselves from the source of our worth, we lose a lot of value in this world. We're reduced to a sophisticated animal. And then we wonder why people act like animals when they're constantly being told they are one. You take God out of the picture. If there is no God, we step down from being a priceless masterpiece to being an animal. A sophisticated animal, albeit, but an animal. And we teach our kids in schools that we are animals. And then when we act like animals, we're surprised. From this world's perspective, our value disappears. It disappears. It does not end well. In addition to being God's masterpiece, I want you to understand this morning that we are unique. We are unique. We are all different. Our DNA is different. Our fingerprints are unique. And we serve a God who loves diversity. We do. We come in all colors. And we're all beautiful. Diversity is amazing. We come in different sizes. We come in different tastes and preferences. We come with a unique face, every one of us. But you know something? When we rebel against our Creator, the diversity becomes ground for competition. When we rebel against our Creator, the unity turns into division. When we rebel against our Creator, racism is born. This does not end well for us when we rebel against our Creator. Because our uniqueness becomes a point of contention in the world we live in. It breaks my heart. It saddens me to no end to see even today in the 21st century how much racism there is even in our churches. Breaks my heart. Because it's a sign of our rebellion against our Creator. It really is. In addition to being God's masterpiece and being unique, I want you to understand that He made us for a purpose. We were created for a purpose. He created us anew, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. God created us with a purpose. To do the good things that He planned for us. What are these good things that He planned for us? Where does God want us to be? Where did the artist place us? Why did He create us? Well, first of all, to love Him. It is our purpose to love our Creator. And second, a close second, is to love one another. That's what people ask Jesus, what are the top two commandments? Or what is the top commandment He gave them to? Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor. We are created also to enjoy family. God created us to enjoy family. God created us to enjoy nature. He placed us in an amazing creation for us to enjoy it. He created us to enjoy fellowship with Him. But when we rebel against the Creator, we stop doing the things that He planned for us to do. We stop loving God in any meaningful way. We start to reject one another. Families become a living hell, or they simply cease to exist. We exploit nature and abuse it instead of enjoying it. We reject fellowship with Him. It doesn't end well when we rebel against our Creator. Now, in addition to being God's masterpiece and being unique and being created with a purpose, God created us to be His children. God created us to be His children. I love the way the Gospel of John says it. John 1:12 says, "But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God." We will never know the depths of that passage. What it means to have the privilege of being His adopted children. The Creator desires to have an intimate relationship with His masterpiece, as a father does with his children. He wants to be our father. He wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to enjoy a relationship with us. He wants to share everything with us. Think about you as a father and your children. What do you want your relationship with your child to be like? You want to be there for them. You want to protect them. You want to provide for them. You want to have a relationship with them. You want to share your life with them. And that's what God desires of us. But again, when we rebel against the Creator, God becomes our judge instead of our Father. That's a big change. We lose the benefit of that relationship. We lose His protection. We lose His provision. We lose the intimate relationship with Him. Why? Because God is not going to bless rebellion. God is not that father that spoils His children. God is not that father that's going to reward misbehavior. When we rebel against God, it does not end well. And because of this rebellion against God, man loses everything. The only one who can restore him is the very Creator he has rejected. What a position to be in. When we rebel against our Creator, we lose everything. And the only one who can restore us completely to that place of honor and dignity is the very Creator that we have rejected, that we have rebelled against. But I'm encouraged by the words of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 1. What did Paul say to the Philippians? "I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." You see, God began restoring His rebellious creation when He sent Jesus to this earth. And that restoration that He began, He will be faithful to complete it. And that masterpiece that now has graffiti all over it and has damaged the image of God is in the process of being restored. Our story doesn't have to have a bad ending. It doesn't have to end tragically. We don't have to lose it all. What we have lost can be restored. You and I, we're powerless to do it. We don't have any more power to restore ourselves than Mona Lisa does to restore herself after a Sharpie mustache and goatee has been added to her. We don't have that power. But God can. But God can. We can once again reflect the image of God in our lives. We can once again recover our worth. We can once again live out God's purpose for our lives. We can become His children again. All the benefits this entails. But you know what? All of this is only potential. We can. It's potential. If we do not make the decision to put ourselves back in His hands, we will never be restored. It's only potential until we make that decision to put our lives back in His hands. If we turn back to the Creator, this passage in Philippians and the rest of the Word of God says that God will work in our lives to restore what has been distorted. It's not an easy process. A complete restoration is going to take the rest of our lives. But we will be fully restored. And we will take our place in the presence of God as His children, as His masterpiece. Not an easy process. God has to remove things that we've added to our image that have distorted it. God has to work out many of the things that we have destroyed in our lives. But God is in the process of restoring the image of God in our lives. He is. I want you to understand today as I conclude that you are God's masterpiece. I asked you at the beginning, how much are you worth? What does God think of you? I asked you to ask yourself, what does God think of me? And I want you to walk out of here today understanding that God sees you as His greatest masterpiece, priceless in value. Who unfortunately has rebelled against Him. And He's paid a very high price to once again begin a work of restoration in your life. Understand today that you are His masterpiece. You are unique. You were created with a purpose. You can be that child of God. God desires to pick you up wherever you have been dumped by this world. Wherever you find yourself today, He wants to pick you up and restore His image in you. God desires to save you. He does. I'll ask you this morning, do you want to put your life back in the hands of your Creator? You see, I believe most of us here are believers. I don't know you, but I believe most of us here have made that decision to put our lives back in the hands of the Creator, that He may restore the image of Christ in us, that we have done everything we can to distort. But if you have not made that decision, or if you're watching this online and you have not made this decision, would you not come back to your Creator today? Would you not drop your weapons and raise that white flag, quit your rebellion against God, and surrender to the One who wants to pick you up and put you back together again? And restore your place of honor and dignity in the universe that He has created. It's as simple as making a choice. It's as simple as accepting the gift of salvation that He gives us. It's as simple as that. Realizing, acknowledging that you have rebelled against Him. Asking Him to forgive you for the things that you have done. And asking Him to save you. There is nothing God wants more than to begin a good work in your life today. Nothing. It's why Jesus came and died on that cross. Take this with you today. God wants to restore you to the original masterpiece that He has created. He wants to pick you up wherever you are in this process and restore you and put you back in a place of honor and dignity and priceless worth. And if you're a believer, as I suspect most of us are, understand that we are in the process of being restored to the image of Christ. And God allows certain things to happen in our lives that are part of that process to restore us. And sometimes you may want to leave the shop and stop the restoration because it hurts. Because it puts you in a position where you have to make some decisions that may be difficult for you. And the easy way out in our minds is to stop the process of restoration. But once you put your life in God's hands, and once you accept Him as your Savior, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We can make that as easy or as difficult a process as we want to make it. By rebelling against Him as he's restoring us. We are a rebellious bunch. Mankind is rebellious. Our sinful nature is rebellious. But the quicker we learn the lesson of surrender, the more painless the process of restoration becomes. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, I come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, sometimes we forget. We lose sight of the lengths that you've gone to reconcile us to you, to redeem us, to forgive us, to restore us. Sometimes, Lord, we forget that in your hands and through your work in our lives is that we restore the value, the priceless value that you have placed in our lives. Father, I pray as we meditate on these words today, I pray that these would be seeds firmly planted on fertile soil. I pray, Lord, that we would walk out of here today and, or just as we tune off from our computers or television sets. And Father, I pray that we would meditate on this word. And Father God, wherever we are in that process, we would make the choice to surrender to you. I especially pray for those who are still outside of the shop, those that are still running from you, rebelling against the very purposes with which you created us. I pray that when they find themselves in that dead-end street, in that dump, that they would realize that all is not lost. There is still hope. The hope is in Christ. I pray that at least one person hearing this morning would make a choice to put their lives in your hands and begin to restore that which has been defaced, the image of Christ in us. I thank you for allowing me to share this word this morning, Father. And you know why you put this word in my heart. You know who needs to hear this. And I'm thankful to be a part of the work that you're doing in our lives. I bless this church, Father God. I pray that you bless this church. Bless the pastors, bless the leaders. Bless every family that calls this home. And may we come together and be that refuge to a lost and dying world. May they see this church as a city of refuge. May they see this church as a place where they could come and get right with God. And find meaning and find value and find purpose. I pray that through the ministry of this church, Lord, you would restore marriages and families. Restore, Father God, those that have just gone astray and lost it all. I pray that they might see the light. That they may be exposed to the salt of the earth. As is reflected in this place. And I pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you, Pastor.